Well, happy Mother's Day, everybody. It is that Sunday of the year where we commemorate the goodness of our moms, and it's actually going to flow in well with what we're talking about this morning, because we've been talking about for a few weeks now about really knowing the real God. And last week we looked at God's holiness. This week we're going to look at the goodness of God, that God is good. But before I do that, I have an historical Mother's Day story that I always tell, and thankful I am for all the forgetfulness of people. Nobody remembers it, so that it sounds like it's new every year. But I always tell this little story, and it's actually a real story. It didn't happen to me, but I've borrowed it, but I don't remember from whom. And so there was a pastor, we'll say his name is Pastor Tom, and he was making a hospital visit, and decided he would first stop by the home because he had had word that maybe the person had been released from the hospital, so he wanted to save himself a trip. Goes by the house, knocks on the door, and little Johnny answers the door. And he said, "Hey, Johnny, is your mom home?" And he said, "No, Billy and Susie and Daddy and I are here all by ourselves." And not having mom there was like they were, you know, helpless, and they're all by themselves. I love that story. And for so many people, the mom is the center of the home and makes everything go. And so the pastor had to go on to the hospital and make the visit. But the idea was Johnny felt like he was alone, even though his siblings and his dad was there with him. And so we want to bless all of the mothers today. And I know many of you, your mother has already passed. I just want to say, God bless the memory that you have of a loving mom. And I know my mother and my wife prayed me into the kingdom. My mom first, because she knew me a lot longer than my wife did. But without the prayers of those two women, I wouldn't be standing here today. So thank God for godly moms and godly women. Amen? So let's talk about the goodness of God. I wrote a little paragraph down. I'm going to read it to you. The goodness of God must be absolutely central in our hearts and in our minds, especially when we're dealing with such unprecedented difficulties and dilemmas in the day that we live. Thank God he's limitlessly good and that he wants to share all of that goodness with us. Annie Flint says it this way: his love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known to man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. That's really well said. Julian of Norwich makes this claim: just as the body wears clothes and the flesh of skin and bones, flesh and the heart and the chest all covered, so we and our soul and body are clothed and enfolded in the goodness of God, just enveloped in the goodness of God. Richard Baxter says, God's goodness is equal to God's greatness. And I always try to talk about his greatness when I talk about his goodness, but they both are magnificent. Matthew Henry makes a very good biblical perspective. He says, he who feeds the birds will not starve his babes. I think that's pretty good. If he cares for the sparrow, he's going to care and take care of us. John Blanchard says, nothing good comes except from God, and nothing except good comes from God. Jerry Bridges says, God's goodness is the preeminent expression of his glory. And I'll touch on that a little bit before we finish today. And then I dug up this little quote by Bill Johnson, a little more contemporary. He says, it's not a rumor. God really is good, always good, and discovering his goodness gives me the grace to serve him with reckless abandon. Those are all pretty good Mother's Day gifts to us, I think, understanding the goodness of God. Well, those of you who've been around me very much know that I say something a lot. I say a lot of things a lot, but one of the things I say repeatedly comes from the 119th Psalm, verse 68, and I say a lot. He is good, and he does good. The psalmist says it this way: Lord, you are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. It's so important that, and so vital that we live from that truth, because He is good and He does good, and we gain knowledge and become more teachable, become more open to God, about Him revealing His Word to us and opening our hearts to Him when we operate with this principle in mind. He is good and He does good. When we get that, then we become more teachable. He says, you are good and you do good, and because you are, teach me. And we become better students, better learners, better discoverers when we operate in a settled nature from this fact that God is good and He does good. So when horrible things happen, the first thing you do is not blame it on God, because He is good and He does good. And we're going to talk in a minute about Romans 8, 28 and 29, where it says, you know, all things work together for good, right? To those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. But things work together for good, but it's usually, I mean, oftentimes bad things start out that way and they get conformed, because we get conformed to the image of Christ. So the idea is that if I know that He's good, I can question what happened. I don't question Him. And when you're not in that, you know, doubting, fluctuative set of thinking and perspective, then you're established and you say, well, I don't know what happened, but I know who's in charge. He is good and He does good, and He really does want us to be teachable. Psalm 16, first two verses, say it this way. Preserve me, O God, for I take my refuge in You. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord, and I have no good besides You. That's a pretty strong statement. I said to the Lord, I trust You. I have no good besides You. And if you extrapolate that verse, look into it a little bit, it's really David saying this, saying to his soul, O my soul, You said to the Lord, You are my Lord, and I have no good besides You. That quote came from David's inner man. Have you ever told him that? Have you ever said, O Lord, in here, from deep in here, everything that I hold dear, from the seat of my emotions, from the inner depths of my humanness, I say, O Lord, You're my Lord, and I trust in You. You could not do something better today, nor give a greater gift to your mother, if you made that kind of a commitment and expression to the Lord. O my soul, You said to the Lord, You are my Lord, and I have no good besides You. I dare you to say that and mean it to the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints, for to those who fear Him there is no want. The young lions do lack, and they do suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. So, Psalm 31, verse 19, how great is Your goodness, O Lord, for those who fear You. How great is Your goodness? It's just stopping and thinking about it. How great is Your goodness, which You've stored up, not that you got to come up with, but You've already stored it up for those who fear You, which You have wrought for those who take refuge in You before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of Your presence from the conspiracies of man. Man, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you enjoy that, being hidden from all of the political polarities and all of the hassle and the economic issues and the coronavirus issues, and do we work and should we gather and all those kinds of things. He says, you hide them in the secret place of Your presence from the conspiracies of men, and You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Keep You from the strife of tongues. This may not be happening to you as much, because I don't know who's working right now and who's working from home and all that kind of stuff, but man, some of the office chatter is definitely the strife of tongues, and He keeps you from that. It says, how great is his goodness that he stored up for us to protect us from the strife of tongues. That's just awesome. That is just wonderful, actually, that he is able to do that for us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's not just hearing, it's imbibing. Taking that, partaking that piece of the Word of God or that passage of Scripture or that song and letting it get in you. Tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Psalm 73 reiterates and says, surely God is good to Israel. He's good to the people of God, to those who are pure in heart. And whom have I in heaven, God, but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on the earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. So it doesn't matter about the strife and the struggle and what's going on, the hearsay and the heresy and anything in between. And sometimes they're both the same, but hearsay and heresy. But he said, as for me, I get it down to this. You are good and you do good. I can taste and know that you're good. And for me, the nearness, the presence of God is my good. So what are you looking for? Haven't you heard people say, I had all this and I had all this and I had all this, but there was still something inside. There was still an emptiness. There was still an ache. There was still a yearning. There was still something dissatisfied within me. And it's because it's only the nearness of God that is the good that settles inside. Oh, but as for me, the nearness of God is my good, because I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. To me, being able to say that he's so good, and those who know him know that his goodness is magnified by his presence. His nearness really is our good. Psalm 84, the psalmist writes it this way, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in you. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, yeah, but I don't always walk uprightly. I don't always do it right. Listen, he has placed the Spirit of God in you so that you can do that upright thing, so that you can have the right response. We're humans, we're not perfect, but when he's talking about this, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That means from those who have right relationship with God and through Jesus, because of his blood and his sacrifice, his resurrection, the outpouring of his Spirit, we are declared righteous by him. And so this applies to you. You can go to him and say, Lord, based on what Jesus has done with me, you say that I am right with you. I'm in right standing with you. And you have no cause to withhold any good thing from me. Now, he may have a little different definition on what the good thing is, but I mean, I don't know what a good thing is to you. Maybe it's a Lexus or a Rolex. Go for it. Both of those are really good things. But the good thing that the Lord might have for you that meets that contentment issue in your life, he doesn't want to withhold that from anybody. So I think you can take it to him. Lord, you said you would withhold no good thing from me. Here are these things. They seem good to me. Would you want to release those things to me? I ask you to do it in the name of the Lord. Psalm 107, first two verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good. Settled. He's good. His loving kindness is everlasting. So he's just not good. He's everlastingly good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say that they are redeemed. Say that they're in right relationship with God, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. Man, if you know the Lord, if you know that you've been transferred out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, say so, because He doesn't withhold any good thing. You can declare it before him, and you can give thanks to the Lord because he's good. Now, if you know that's true, then even when stuff that looks bad is going on, it's still an opportunity to thank him for his goodness. And that's not fake it till you make it. It's understanding and declaring the truth, even though the circumstances are filled with clutter, and try to disguise his goodness or dispel his goodness. I'm telling you, he's everlastingly good. At the end of the day, he is good, and he does good. That's what the Bible has to say. Later in Psalm 107, starting with verse 5, he says this, speaking of those who are away from God. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted with them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Even though they'd been disobedient and gone away, when they cried out in their trouble, he delivered them. He led them also by a straight way to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. He has satisfied the thirsty soul and the hungry soul. He has filled with what is good. He has filled the hungry with what is good. Now, if you've got an ache, a yearning, a desire, a need, go to him. He says he fills the hungry with his goodness. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all. So if you're thinking, yeah, I wish I was doing it right, or wish I'd made all the right decisions, I wish I hadn't have done that, and everything was clear between me and him. It can be. He's gracious and he's merciful. He's slow to anger. He's great in loving kindness, and he's good to all. Now that means you. If the Lord is good to all, he's good to you. I was some time ago grousing a little bit because things hadn't gone the way I was wanting them to go. And I told my wife, you know, this happened and this happened and this happened. And in that way that she can do it, she looked at me and says, no, John, you're right. God loves everybody but you. I thought, yeah, thanks a lot. But this verse then rings true. No, Lord is good to all. You haven't disqualified yourself, and he hasn't disqualified you either. There may be some things that need to happen between you and him, but because he's full of grace and mercy and slow to anger and great in loving kindness, he will give that to you, his grace, his mercy, his loving kindness, and get things straight so that he can be good, because he's good to all. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over above all of his works. And all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Why? Because he is good, and he really does good. Later on in Psalm 145, starting with verse 15, he says, the eyes of all look to you. Why? Because the Lord is good to all. That's what he says. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. And you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. It's a good God that extends his hand. And I don't know about you, but I've been with people who God has extended his hand, but you still have to take out of his hand what he's put in it when he extends it to you. So he extends his hand so he can give food in its due time when it's absolutely necessary and satisfy the desire of every living thing. So the Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry, and he will save them. Now, that word save can mean a lot of things. It can just mean getting you out of trouble, getting you out of lack, getting you out of a tense or pressurized situation, but it also means he can save you from an eternity away from him, apart from him. He says that he hears the cry of everyone and will save them. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus, never cried out to him and said, Lord, I know I've kind of messed stuff up and things aren't right with me and you, and I really want to get it straight, come in and live in me. Come and cleanse me from the things I've done that are imperfect and immoral or improper. And lead my life with me. Be my Lord. Set yourself on the throne of my life. Man, today's the day to do that, because he will hear your cry and he will save you. I love the fact that he's always open. He's righteous in all his ways, kind in all of his deeds, and he knows how to save to the uttermost. Now, he doesn't just do that when everybody's doing perfectly good and everything's going perfectly well. This is from Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is great stuff, starting with verse 6. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. He says, I'll circumcise your heart. In other words, I'll cut away the stuff that's keeping you from right relationship with me, so that you may live. And the Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you, and you shall again obey the Lord. In other words, you're not out of it. You shall again obey the Lord, and you shall observe his commandments, which I command you today. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hands, and in the offspring of your body, and in the offspring of your cattle, and in the produce of your ground. And I love this phrase. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the Lord God and keep his word and keep his statutes, which are written in the book of the law. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, for this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. Man, get that. Well, yeah, I don't know how to do all that stuff, and I don't know how to get right with God. Listen, you open your heart to him and tell him that you understand you're separated from him and you don't want to be, and that you believe that he really did send Jesus, and Jesus really was raised from the dead so that we can have right relationship with him. And he says, what I'm telling you today isn't too difficult for you. It's not out of your reach. It's not in heaven that you should say, well, who's going to go up to heaven and bring it down for me? It's not beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea to get it for me? And so that we can obey and observe it. But the word is very near to you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, that you might be able to observe and obey it. So if you're listening to me today and you've never given your heart to the Lord, or you know things aren't right between you and him, he says, now's the time. This isn't out of reach. Not only can you do this, I'm reaching out to you to help you do this. And he said, I'm going to permit you, I'm going to empower you. If you've walked away from him and things aren't working right and you need to get back in line with him straight and be aligned with his purposes, he says, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good. And you probably might not be feeling he's rejoicing over you at all, but he said, no, I can do this. I want to do this. I will rejoice over you for good. Now, he's telling this to people whom he had just had to let go into captivity because they'd spurned him and disobeyed him and walked away from him. But he said, you come back. You turn to me. You give me your heart. And I will again rejoice over you for good, for the goodness of you who've returned to me. I think that is really strong. I just think that's great. He kind of reiterates this in Hosea chapter 3, where he says, after the disobedience and the falling away and the failure to observe the goodness of God, he says, afterwards the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. They will come to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. The goodness of God is an open door. Now, God's not Santa Claus up in heaven distributing presents. No, he says, here's how you get to me. You come to me through my son. But the goodness of God is what you return to when you return to Him, because that's what He's like. And it's not about penance and all that kind of stuff. It's about changing your mind, that's called repentance, towards God and receiving the goodness of God. They will return to Him and to His goodness, the scriptures say, in the last days. Tozer says this: the people of God return to Him and seek Him and return to His goodness. A wayward heart can come trembling to the goodness of God. God is not only infinitely good, He is perfectly good, completely good. So if you think about that for just a minute, He's perfectly good, but He's infinitely good, Lord. He's like, He's never changed. He always will be good. That's how you're going to find Him, if you turn to Him or return to Him. A number of things could be said. I think I'll go this way. Goodness in God as in human beings means something admirable, attractive, and praiseworthy. When the biblical writers call God good, they are thinking in general of all those moral qualities which prompt His people to call Him perfect, and in particular, the generosity which moves them to His merciful and graciousness and for Him to speak to us in love. This is J.I. Packer. And when David declared, "As for God, His way is perfect," what he meant was that God's people find in experience, as he himself had found, that God never comes up short of the goodness which someone lays claim to. In other words, God never runs out. You go, "Yeah, I'm sorry." Like the president here a few weeks ago said, "Well, we're going to kick up the economy. We're going to release all these billions of dollars." And then within about 10, 11 days, they run out. "Sorry, you've got to go back to Congress and get more." Doesn't happen that way with God. When He's here to energize you with His goodness, it's 24/7, 365, and it never is diminished by regardless of how many people come to Him. That's who He is. That's what He's like. So the Lord says to Moses, this is Exodus 33, I've marveled at this expression of the goodness of God. The Lord says to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." So he says, "Gosh, I know you by name. You've got favor. Things are going really good." Moses said, "Based on this, if I got favor, I'm going to go for all of it." He said, I pray that you show me your glory." And here's God's answer. And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you." Wow. We think about the glory of God, the essence of God, this weightiness, this so profound, significant dimension of God's presence. And God says, the best way I can show you what I'm like, the best way I can explain it to you, is I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And that's how he's going to answer him. So we talk about the glory of God and usually associate that with worship. And, you know, sometimes there's just that presence and that sense of the corporate awareness of the presence of God. And he says, but the glory realm, God says, has to do with the declaration of his name, which covers all of the essence of his character and his nature and his goodness. That is so strong. So God's not only infinitely good and perfectly good, he's gloriously good. Moses asked for God to show me your mercy. He said, "Now here, I'm going to make my goodness pass before you. I'm going to proclaim my name before you." God's glory was displayed in his goodness and in his name. The core of the essence of God's character, nature, and name is his great goodness. So when we talk about God being good and doing good, you really can't diminish that, and you mustn't. God is good, and he does good. Thomas Manton says this: "May God grant this, his goodness, become a truth that we not only accept but embrace. so that it becomes the perspective from which we view all the events of our lives. There is such an absolute perfection in God's nature and his being that nothing is wanting, nothing's defective in it, and nothing can be added to it to make it better. He is originally good, good of himself, which nothing else is, for all the creatures are good only by participation and communication from God. In other words, for us to be good as God would count good, it takes our relationship with God and his presence in us. He's essentially good, not only good, but goodness itself. The creation's good is a superadded quality. In God, it is his essence. He is infinitely good. The creature's good is but a drop, but in God, there's an infinite ocean or gathering together of good. He's eternally and immutably good, for he cannot be less than the good that he is, as there can be no addition made to him, no subtraction from him. God is summum bonum, which is the highest good, and all that emanates from God, his decrees, his creation, his laws, his providences cannot be other than good, because God saw everything that he made, and behold, Genesis 1:31, it was very good. James 1, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing comes from the Father of lights. So he's our source of goodness. Romans 8:28, which we alluded to earlier, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And then we know the purpose is, verse 29, that we are conformed to the image of Christ. He squeezes life and goodness into all difficulties. That's how he causes all things to become good. And I heard someone say once, he is good, and he does good. And my response to that is, thank you, Lord. Today, I proclaim today and to you that God is the epitome of goodness. He knows nothing else but to be good and to impart goodness to us if we open our hearts to him. I pray that that would become a central feature of your understanding. If you don't get anything else out of what we've said today, get this. He is good, and he does good for his joy and for our benefit. Lord, thank you for being with us today. Thank you that you use your word to declare your goodness, and we could spend another hour and still wouldn't be able to mine the depths that would describe the goodness of God. But we want to say today, Lord, you have been good to us, and we have no reason to expect you to be other than who you are, the one who is good, and the one who will continue to do good on our behalf. We bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.